Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Mullins.
Oh! An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner.
Howdy, all.
For it must be a Tuesday. Does that make you feel better?
That, yes, it does.
Feels Let's nice. Go! Come on!
For it must be a Tuesday. All right,
be better.
Maybe we'll bring it back. That's the best thing I've got so far.
I still think you should say it's a Wednesday, for it's always Wednesday, just to F with people listening and throw them off their week.
I mean, it's
and
one of...
think that they're one day closer to the weekend when they're actually not.
It's one of my absolute favorite Office skits. Is when Jim is able to convince Dwight that it's Thursday or that it's Friday on a Thursday, and then Dwight has to come in super late and gets in trouble for it. It's such a great episode.
Doesn't matter. This is the last day. I'm going to have to see you this week anyways.
And then Jim goes, huh.
Doesn't say a word.
It's like Dwight thought it was Friday, and Jim was like, we're going to run with this.
Oh, did you see who was eliminated from The Apprentice last night? Dang it! I missed it. Apparently, that used to be on Thursdays. I don't think I watched it.
I don't think I ever watched that show either.
Yeah.
I know that Lil Jon was on it one time.
It hasn't, like, every famous person been
on it. I saw a really funny bit that was, like, posted on my... It came up on my Reddit timeline of some guy was trying to convince them how he could turn water into gold. And it was, like, pulling all of the proteins out of water... And then
Is
pushing them together
water?
And creating gold. And the look on all the judges' faces while he's like literally talking about this $100 million investment of just like, this guy's absolutely insane.
Wait, was that The Apprentice or Shark Tank?
Shark Tank.
Yeah.
It was Shark Tank.
I know
sorry.
Exactly the sorry, clip those, you're talking
sorry,
about.
Those shows
no, it's
are
all
like
good,
the
bro.
Same damn show to me.
No, it was like some weird shyster investor who says, like, yeah, I've had over 1,000 patents and inventions to my name, comes in and he says, we can make gold out of water to the sharks, and they're like, no.
You know what annoys me about that show the most is when they have way too much energy, enthusiasm, and animation in their pitch because that doesn't matter.
No.
Like, it's like, wow, great job, guys. That was really good. Okay, so what's your margins? All right, how much money did you make? Like, that's the stuff that matters. Like, don't try to wow me and be all cheesy and give me puns and jokes about your business and make jokes about the Sharks and why they need it. Like, because it's going to come down to, are you profitable? Do you make money? What do you need the money for?
Yeah.
Like, cut out the BS here, please, all right? Cut out the theatrics.
One thing that I think is hilarious about that show, Shark Tank specifically, is, like, we as sports fans, we as sports media.
I do love Shark Tank, though.
We as sports media.
Ditto.
Look at it, look at a guy like Mark Cuban as kind of a joke. We laugh at him. He's this really awkward dude on the sidelines. He'll run on the court and yell at a ref and doesn't know much about basketball, but got a title and blah, blah, blah. You know, he's kind of like a joke to us. He is by far the smartest guy on that show.
It's not even close.
It's not close. Like, it is clear that that guy is smarter than everybody else.
Did you see the one where the guys came on to sell air fresheners, like car air fresheners?
Oh, really?
And they were like customized with like team logos and stuff like that. And in the pitch, they're like, oh yeah, if you want to have a champion hanging from your window, you go with the Golden State Warriors. Sorry, Mark. And they said that to him, and then like
threw shade at him.
Yeah, and then when they were done, he's like, "I'm out." and they were like shocked, and he's like, "Dude, read the room. Like, you're gonna come in here and make a comment like that? Like, no, I'm good."
Opening day, and here's the first pitch, and the season's over.
He was legitimately pissed and salty about that joke, where he immediately was like, "Nope, I'm out."
Look, I just told you that we all like to laugh and make fun at the expense of Mark Cuban. If I'm going in there as current day 39-year-old Patrick, and I'm looking at Mark Cuban, I'm like, you know, PJ Washington looks real nice, even though I don't think PJ Washington looks very nice at all. But I'm
not
like,
right
hey,
now.
Man, you're down 0-2, dude. I think you got this. I am slurping that man to no one's business.
Boy.
There was somebody that called him
Cubes.
Can
we pull that, please?
That's a good one. Yeah, I hope I didn't ruin that. I'll see if I can pull that drop. But yeah, there's somebody called him Cubes, and he was out immediately. Like he's
Cubes.
Like, yeah, Cubes.
Hey, Cubes, what up?
And he's like, you know what? I'm out just for you calling me Cubes.
Yeah. It's yeah. Like my nickname when I was younger was like Harry or Lil Harry, you know, because my last name's Harris. And it's like if a stranger would have like, what up, Harry? I'd be like, out. Absolutely, yeah. It's like when I meet people and they're like, oh, hey, Pat, it's nice to meet you. I'm like, I hate you now forever.
So
my name is Patrick. Eventually.
Okay.
There are some people I have met in my life, old friends, new coworkers. You know, I started a new job a couple months ago, and there are some people that do refer to me to my face and behind my back as Pat.
Patio Harris.
And some, it's actually a person-by-person case. You know, like our brewer, who is a wonderful, wonderful human being. Maybe too wonderful of a human being, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, how many dead bodies you got in your backyard? He'll call me Pat from time to time, and I let it slide. And I've got an old buddy, my old buddy Corey. He'll call me Pat from time to time, and I let it slide. And I don't know why.
Can I call you Rick?
God, no. I would never respond to it. But that's the other thing. It's like, if you call me Pat, I usually don't respond because I don't think you're talking to me. And every once in a while, I always have to say this. Hey, look, man, I don't really know how to say this without sounding like a jerk, but my name is Patrick, not Pat. And they're always like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, look, no. We're fine. I just don't know how to tell this to you. Without sounding like a jerk.
I mean, I don't really go by Joseph, and that is my legal name. It's just Joe, you know?
I'm a firm believer in, like, how do you introduce yourself?
I go Joe.
And I go Patrick.
Maybe I need to be more distinguished and go Joseph.
My best friend goes by his last name. I'm, like, the only person that calls him by his first name.
Should I go by my middle name now, Harold?
Please don't.
Like, here's a great example, okay?
What's wrong with Harold?
Here's a great
example. Back to 1958.
Prime time with Isaac and Sook. When I first met Sook, I said, hey, I'm Patrick. He said, hey, I'm Jason. Nice to meet you. And I call him Jason. I always have, always will. I mean, sometimes if we're like sitting around and laughing and joking and things get out of line, you know, it might drop a souk here and there. But usually when I see him, I'm like, oh, hey, Jason, how are you?
I have been conditioned now to call him Jason because if my girlfriend and I are talking about him or his girlfriend, like, it's weird calling him Souk.
Well, that makes sense.
She knows him as Jason. So now, over the last 7-8 months or whatever, it's now become conditioned to just refer to him as Jason.
But I think the first time I met Voldemort, he was like, hi, I'm Michael. And I was like, oh, all right.
No.
He's like, oh, you're Michael.
You're Mike. That's Mike Lynch. I don't think I ever...
That's Giancarlo Lynch.
I don't think I ever referred to him as Michael.
Non si può sto parlo.
Yeah. Just went deep, by the way.
I introduced myself to him, and I just said, hey, Mike, and he never corrected me, so...
My sister-in-law...
That's because he's the nicest guy in the world.
Not my sister-in-law, excuse me. My kid's aunt, when we were having Joey years ago...
And I've always called him Joey.
And I don't know how that kind of happened. I think it just kind of stuck as him being a baby and a toddler, just calling him Joey. But she asked one point because they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to name him Joseph Harold Fisher IV. And she's like, Harold, so can we call him Hank? And we're like, no, because one, I don't even think Hank is a derivative of Harold. It goes Harold, then Harry. And Hank is a derivative of Henry.
I did not know that.
Yeah, because Henry Aaron, yep. Hank Aaron. Yeah,
Hank
so. Aaron.
Yep, Hank.
So, yeah, she's like, oh, can we call him Hank? We're like, no, because that's not Harold. And two, just no, we're not calling our son Hank.
Funny story on this. One of my best friends, Nick, he has a daughter, Charlotte, his firstborn Charlotte. Just adorable girl. Love this girl to death. Once he told me her name was Charlotte, I said, oh, dude, I'm going to call her Charlie. For her whole life.
Call her Chuck.
I'm going to call her Charlie.
I love Chuck.
I love Charlie.
Just refer to a girl as Chuck.
And Charlie's just this wonderful girl. She's like 4 now, 5 now, something like that. And I just love her to death. And my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, he had a daughter who's Charlotte as well. She is 3, so a little bit younger than my buddy's Charlotte. And I was like, hey, have you guys thought about Charlie? Like, I think Charlie is a super cute name for a girl. You know, I kind of like the male name for a girl. Like, she doesn't have to, like, be more like tomboy. She could be girly girl, whatever you want. But I kind of like it. And they were like, you will never call my daughter Charlie. And I was like, wow, okay, all right.
I like to throw a little Hispanic spin on my nieces Charlotte. And nephews' names. Scarlett goes by Scarlos.
Scarlos.
Sounds
like a criminal.
My nephew, Bennett, goes by Benito Santiago.
Benito Santiago, the legendary Giants catcher.
Yes. And then my nephew Alex, who is part Mexican, I just call him Alejandro. So
Alejandro.
I put the
getting higgy with it.
I don't know what to do with Tatum. That's my other nephew.
Tay-Tay.
Yeah, that's easy.
Tatis.
Ooh, Tatis.
Fernando, yeah.
Yeah, just go Fernando.
Yeah,
just,
not even Tatis.
Doesn't even come close to it. Yeah.
It's like, Michael, why do you call him pizza? Well, he's Anthony, but then people call him Tony, and he's kind of fat. So he reminds me of that pizza joint, that Tony's Pizza down the road. So I just call him Pizza.
That's good.
It's like 6 degrees, but for a nickname.
Now I'm hungry.
It's like I call Joe Co.
Now
Joe is Co because Joe Fisher does a radio show with me and he sits next to me and he's technically my co-host. So now I call him Co.
Well, again, it'd be like calling me Hank. It's like, well, his middle name is Harold and Hank is kind of like Harold because it has an H and an A at the beginning.
And everybody calls him Joe, but my relationship with him is different than everybody else's. So I want it to be special.
Now that's an 80s name right there. Hank Fisher. Nice to meet you.
Isn't that another mnemonic device of Michael Scott's? Like you can figure out or remember anybody's name by just using something about them. Like she's pregnant, she's knocked up, K, Karen. Boom. God. That's...
Like Pam would like stop and go, oh, because of this.
It works.
Oakley Doakley, well, we got a baseball show for you tonight. I want to talk a little bit about contract situations in New York and how that's kind of going. Plus, we will make fun of some baseball calls in big situations because that's pretty fun. Plus, there's a couple teams that seem to be fading. Are their players really worth what the back of the jersey says? So we'll get to that plus fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. But when we come back, oh boy, I think Joe and I gotta face the music here.
Maybe one of us more than the other, I think.
Probably one of us more than the other. We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
721 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. We'll get to some of those, Rufio, you in a moment. But Joe and I were out at the Pickles game on Thursday.
Yeah, and raise the chair. Let's go.
Raise the chair, which is so awesome. I thought we'll get to that.
All of it's awesome.
But tonight, if you are out at the Pickles game, or if you're on your way to the Pickles game, or if you live in the neighborhood and you want to get there at the end after the game.
I can't believe they're doing this.
A member of the Pickles is performing a real 70-foot motorcycle jump on the field after the game. It kind of makes me want to get done with this show, like, now and ball my booty down there to go see it.
They have their own Evel Knievel?
Apparently, he's Holy a player gosh. On the team.
Wow.
That guy's from Idaho.
As one fearless Pickle...
That guy's from Idaho.
It says in the email here, brace yourselves as one fearless Pickles member takes on the impossible, a mind-blowing 70-foot jump that'll have your heart pounding and the crowd roaring. It's a night of pure, unadulterated excitement you won't want to miss.
And in 3 hours, I get an email saying, rest in peace to that young man.
Oh, no,
tragedy
no,
at Lentz
no.
Park on Tuesday night.
But if
a bull jumped out of the stadium.
If you are a fan of 1080 The Fan, you listen to the wonderful show that is every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Those are our friends Brandon Sprague and Andy Dirt Johnson.
Using the word wonderful loosely.
They are friends of mine. They are antagonists of Joe, and they are co-workers of Jordan. Is this the best way to put it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Probably antagonists as well.
Yeah, also, I would agree.
I just don't know your relationship with them. I'm just teasing.
It's funny.
But apparently they caught the footage of us throwing out the first pitch Thursday at the Pickles game. And yes, I will admit it, okay? My ball hit the dirt. I got out of the infield, but my ball hit the dirt before it got there.
I saw a nasty breaking ball is what I saw.
And the funniest thing about it, and I am not trying to quantify this. I'm not trying to stick up for myself. Whoa, but, you know, no. I felt great going out there. I felt really fantastic. I was like, look, I'm not going to put a bunch of cheese on it. I'm just going to throw the ball, wave to the crowd. My kids were there. My wife was there. We were having a good old time.
I was nervous if I put too much heat on it, I'm sailing it over the top.
Over the top.
Or I'm putting it in the dirt and it like skips up. And then that turns into a problem for the player that's trying to catch it.
And I was thinking none of it. I was like, dude, just throw the baseball, man. You know how to throw a baseball. And I'm feeling good. And Joe and I are kind of giggling on the mound. And
we got to the mound and I was like, whoa, this is a lot further than I remember.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it is. But we got this. We got this. And I look at Joe and Joe goes, okay, you ready? One, two. And once Joe said two, I went, oh, God. And that's when I lost it. That's when I pooped my pants. That's when I had no
blacked out
belief in myself. And the ball came out on this rainbow arc. Exactly. And dropped right in front of the guy. And he couldn't make the catch. That's how bad the throw was. Not 50 Cent bad, but not Carl Lewis bad. But, you know, not one of the highlights of my life.
Catfish! Well, I'm going to give this some time. And as long as this relationship stays well between 1080 the Fan and the Pickles, that maybe we have to have a redemption first pitch next year.
I think we're going to have to.
I don't think they'll have us back this year. Maybe we revisit this next May, next June, and be like, hey, caught a little flack for that first pitch. We need to redeem ourselves. We'll put in some fastballs. We'll get it over the plate. We won't give you these moon shots. We will get it straight on the line. Frozen rope right to the gloves this time. Just please, one last chance.
P1 Rufio chimes in. Uncle Patrick bouncing one on the infield grass completely negates the credibility you've built up after all these years on the hot corner. I'm not mad, just disappointed.
Do you want me to read some of the Twitter responses that we got?
That sounds fantastic. And Rufio, you know I love you to death. But you're not wrong.
Let's see. Someone said, aren't they supposed to throw it to the mitts? And then someone put literally a 5-bullet-point breakdown. Wow, so much to unpack here. One, terrible throws. I don't care how you slice it. You can't bounce it to home plate. Someone commented on the flip-flops.
I'm wearing flips right now.
They said auto L, and I was like, I don't think they know Patrick very well.
Yeah. Flips are alive.
Honestly, seeing you in flip-flops at the same, wasn't shocked at all.
No, shouldn't be.
Yeah. 3, C-. 4, do better next time. 5, will there ever be a next time? And that's where I'm like, okay, all right, we'll see about this. We'll see. We'll see if we have a redemption arc here. Let's see. I responded to Dirt and Sprague with a video on Twitter, which they then played on air, which then had me cursing
on air. It's a little NSFW.
You got to listen to the audio, guys. You got to listen to it through. And they claimed that I threw it 14 miles per hour. A pitch has to top 20 miles to get a scuff mark on the ball.
I have a scuff mark on my ball that is currently signed
Dude, it was a nasty curve you threw, okay?
15 Pickles players because my son decided to go get it signed by every person he could find.
Yeah, that video I said, I got the ball to the glove and I'll die on that hill. Dirt and Sprague responded, die on the hill could be the name of the pitch you threw.
Oof.
Joe, your pitch will never, should never be critiqued as hard as mine.
I think
I bailed you out, Joe. I was looking out for you.
Yeah, I know what you're doing.
I was looking out for you, Joe.
I knew what you were doing.
Your reputation is way more important to me than mine.
Sprague was just saying that he was surprised that I come across as the guy that would have taken it like super serious and like full on, you know, pitching
full wind up.
Yeah. And then someone said, like, I feel like we needed a warm up session in the bullpen. It didn't seem like the Pickles were going to give us that.
No.
They're just kind of like, stand here, wait, and then you'll go out on our signal. Like, I don't think there was, let me get a few throws in here with your catcher, please, if he's not too busy.
Well, they were kind of like, you know, be at the stadium no later than this time. And, you know, I had the kids, and it's a weeknight. It's a school night. So we got there kind of early. We wanted to kind of settle in and get them some food. And, you know, daddy wanted a drink. And we just kind of waited, and then we went over there. And I will tell you this, though, Joe. Without a bullpen session that the Pickles didn't give us, outside of that, they were great.
The
staffing team, Spencer, the GM, all that stuff, they were excellent. They were a ton of fun and very great to us.
Parker, the GM.
Parker, thank you.
Maybe that's what I said. Around there.
Check the tape. That's what I said.
First they class. Did have an employee named Lucky, though.
They did.
Right? Yes. And he was wearing Wazoo gear.
Dude, that's got to be such a confident thing. Hey, man, I'm Patrick. Hey, dude, I'm Lucky. And you're like, no, you're not.
Own it. Honestly, it reinforces why live baseball is the best live sporting event you can go to.
It truly is.
In any form or fashion.
And they told us that because it was a rescheduled game that there wouldn't be a big attendance. We were like, we assumed there was not a big attendance because we're here. And nobody wants to see that. But the Pickles won big. I think we had to leave in the sixth. But
they hit a dong right before
they
we
hit
left.
A dong, yeah. And some runs were scored, and we got to, you know, pump the chairs. And I remember, so at the Pickles game, if you're sitting up on the patio bar, which is like some VIP area behind home plate, you sit on these metal stools. And they have a tradition there that if a run is scored and they, you know, play music over the PA, you lift up your chair and you pump it in the air.
Raise right? the chair.
Raise yeah. the chair. That's what they do. And the first run scores. And I'm looking over at everybody. I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then I look behind me, and there's Joe Fisher with his chair in the air, just going, yeah!
Hell yeah!
And I joined it.
Yeah.
It was a fun night, though.
By the end, you were raising the chair. You were raising the chair.
It was a fun night.
We also got, like, they don't have, like, yardstick beers. They have baseball bat beers, which
no
are...
No way.
Yeah, so they're, what were they, 24 ounces?
24 ounces,
yeah. But they're in the shape of a baseball bat.
Right up my alley.
I wanted one. Joe was really on the fence, and I said, no, we're doing it. You're doing it. We're all doing it.
Yeah, yes. You gotta.
Yep. And if you bring it back to the stadium, the prices of the beer is 50% off.
And maybe they'll invite us back, maybe?
Well, we do have a team outing there at the end of July. So, you're invited. Jordan's invited. Yeah. All of Odyssey Portland is invited. I sent out the calendar invite. So, you know, should have seen that in the inbox at some point.
I do believe 10
be cent, the old 10B.
I do believe 10 cent beer night was rescheduled to like the 18th or 19th as
it
well.
Was.
So that's on my calendar. That's for sure.
That's going to be a mess.
So a very nice shout out to Parker, the GM at the Pickles, and the whole team. They were great to us. Walker Stadium is so fun. My kids, who could care less about baseball, walked into that stadium, and when we left, they said, can we go back tomorrow? So a giant shout-out to them. I got to meet Joe's lovely lady and remind myself that I first met Joe the Fourth, Medium Joe, about 10 years ago, and I'm terrified that he's a full-grown human being.
That he's going to be in middle school next year?
I am absolutely terrified.
I am terrified of it as well.
Absolutely terrified. All right, we come back. Let's dive into some actual baseball that's been going on. Joe and I have been talking today, trying to figure out what's going on. I'd like to get into the contract situation with potentially truly the most valuable player in baseball right now. We'll do that next, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll laugh at announcers on big deals that maybe aren't big deals. I haven't heard this, but Joe mentioned this, so we'll get to that. Plus, the most overrated players in the Major League Baseball, anonymously voted on by other Major League players.
Which, that's how you know... It's
true.
It's true, yeah. It's so, not like fans or media. Like, when the players are saying this, then I feel like there's definitely some credence to it.
We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, plus maybe we'll revisit the London series. I don't know. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Rufio, one more time. I was going to have Patrick get my tee shot on 6 at the Golf Classic, but I don't want to have a 100-yard birdie attempt.
Ouch.
Yeah, that is a par 3 that is about, like, 110 yards.
Deal chimes in with, did Joe yell 500 with the first pitch? That's so great. 500!
Mystery box!
I love that game. I love that game. Infinity!
No, mine was fine, all right? God, see this? We need to make it happen again next year. Redemption.
But getting into some real baseball, over the weekend, there was some really fun, you know, obviously media probably hypes it more than us diehard baseball fans really hype it, but it was still kind of must-watch TV. All the games were nationally televised. Dodgers played the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, and Dodgers took two of those three games and kind of looked the better team for the most part. Luis Gil, for the third game, did what he does of late. And has been great, but it's clear that Dodgers offense is rolling and stuff like that. And it kind of got me thinking, Juan Soto's sitting out with a little bit. He's got, you know, kind of nothing bad, but kind of dealing with a little bit of lingering injury right now. But all reports coming out about Juan Soto and a new contract, as he will be a free agent at the end of this season, and the Yankees clearly traded for him thinking, you play 1 year in New York and you're with us. Hold the brakes on that. It's not quite a Dan Hurley situation, but it kind of feels a little bit like, even at this point where Juan Soto is clearly a huge factor in the Yankees' success right now. Yeah, Judge is healthy, and every time Judge makes contact on a baseball, I'm talking contact on a baseball, it looks like it's going out of the park. So he's playing out of his mind. But Juan Soto, I would argue, is clearly the MVP of that team. And I know you want to kind of play a little sheepish on, you know, I don't know, we'll see, my agent talks, blah, 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 and he wants $600 million or whatever it's going to be. Do you guys think that him kind of playing coy about a potential long-term deal in New York is because he still doesn't know if New York is the place he wants to be?
He may be considering it, but if he is smart and wants the most money possible and wants to, I mean, he is already a New York legend, it seems like, the way that he started this season. I mean,
he's just been unreal. This is the best Juan Soto I've ever seen.
Well, and to quote Mike Lynch, even, he threw out on Twitter a couple weeks ago, he's like, Juan Soto is the perfect Yankee. Like, he fits the swagger of that team in the way that he has played this year.
Always been a clean-cut guy, so it's not like Verdugo where, you know, on Sunday Night Baseball, they're like, do you miss your beard? No, Soto's always been clean.
If you're the Yankees, you are going to give him whatever he wants. If you're Juan Soto, you know you're going to be a New York Yankee. Like, if you want to keep marketing yourself as one of the top players, if not the top player in baseball, and have opportunity after opportunity on and off the field, you're going to stay in New York. You're going to get a huge contract. I don't care what is coming out of the front office with New York and them saying, oh, we really have to consider our spending. Like,
but yes, on paper, it looks like that. But do you think Juan Soto, a guy who was in Washington, won a World Series, went to San Diego, and for some reason that loaded roster didn't work, but Soto was still Soto light, but still a great ball player? Do you think New York is the best place for him?
I think,
like,
so.
Like, money aside, because someone's going to pay him.
I mean, it's just the way that
he's going to make $500 million.
The way that he has performed the season obviously is great, no matter what team he's on. But there is something about doing it on the Yankees, and especially this season when we weren't sure how good this team was going to be.
I mean,
and he is clearly making them.
I put money down at A-Lin-A that they wouldn't win 92 and a half games, and I think they've already won 92 and a half games.
He is clearly making them a World Series contender,
without a doubt. And Garrett Cole's right around the corner.
He's coming
and
back.
He looks good.
So I think it is the perfect fit as far as type of player, the team that he's on. I can't think. It's like, it's hard to think of, like, all right, so let's say it's not the Yankees, then who?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. It's like the Dodgers are not going to pay for a right fielder.
No, because they're already
like
paying $1 billion.
They're
for
not going to pay for a right fielder like Juan Soto. You know, I think they'll do the Teoscar Hernandez, Jason Hayward rodeo until they got some prospect they can bring up and play in right field. That's a great question. Would Soto go back to San Diego?
No. No,
you know, I don't think so.
Them.
The Giants, they seem to be willing to go after every big free agent. They went after Bryant. They went after Judge. They went after Correa. Would they go after Soto?
And he's already used to hitting big home runs in their stadium.
But is right field a pain in the ass in San Francisco?
They just
like
spent.
That right field is no joke. Yeah. It's monster. It's Fenway monster light.
But just to bring Blake Snell and Jung Ho Koo in, I mean, how much did they spend this year? You know,
truth.
Already like what?
Jorge Soler?
Yeah, Jorge Soler
Matt
as well.
Chapman?
Chapman?
We're talking $300-400+ million. And then for one player to turn around and spend $500 million, I think New York's going to be the best place for him, because out of all the other teams, what, maybe Texas? Because they've kind of struggled with their outfield prospects. Like, oh, maybe we just need to pay, you know, a young vet like this to come in.
Aging Evan Carter.
Yeah, what the hell? And Wyatt Langford, start playing a little better, kid. You were supposed to be, like, the guy. But New York is the best place for him. The coyness is literally a money negotiation thing, right? I've heard that, oh, Juan Soto's worth $600 million. He's not. I'm sorry. There is no world, unless he's pitching, just like Shohei Ohtani's going to next year, that he is worth more than I mean, I even don't think 500 mil's happening. I think like 450, sure. But at this point, the coinists, the New York Yankees saying, well, we got to look at the market. This is about like $5 to $10 to $30 million on his contract negotiation. Well,
this is on Forbes.com. Is that, and I haven't read the article, this is just the headline, but MLB execs project $498 million deal will keep Juan Soto in New York. So again, I haven't dove into the article,
sure.
But a recent panel of 28 MLB executives polled by ESPN projected that the slugger might earn anywhere from 50 mil for a single season to 655 over 10 years in his next deal.
See, that's the interesting point. That's what I was going to get after. Okay. Because there are only, I believe there are only two guys in baseball that make over $40 million a year. I could be wrong on this, but I think these guys, even if there is, you know, if like a Verlander or somebody else is making, you know, short contracts, $40 million, but of long-term deals, I believe the only guys making over $40 million a year in baseball are Mookie Betts and Mike Trout.
So to go a little further in this article, the average of all projections was $482.5 million over 11.6 years. And with the highest and lowest outliers removed, it came to that $498.4 million over 12.4 years.
But $498 over 12 is less money than Mike Trout.
It's $40.4 million.
That's less money than Mookie Betts.
Yeah. Highest proportion of panelists, 14 total, indicated that Soto would land a deal in the 500 mil to 599 million tier. Three said the deal would reach at least 600.
I understand that contracts are going to go up every year for stars, but we just saw Shohei, a two-way star, get 750 mil.
Yeah, Shohei, it's kind of like, you know, with the Stanley Cup Finals going on, you talk about great players. Like, there's Gretzky, and then you start talking about everybody else. I think when it comes to contracts in baseball, Shohei is something we've never seen and may never see again. So I don't love comparing guys getting contracts to Shohei.
Okay.
That's why I kind of brought up Trout and Mookie, because that's more realistic. Harper, you know, you can go down the line to Frankie Lindor and Manny Machado, guys that are making over 300 mil, Bryce Harper, etc. Shohei can't count.
Well, I'm just wondering if the value's there for that kind of player in general. If this guy that you're saying is kind of the exception to the rule is getting 750 mil, then how could somebody even come close to that if they're not offering both hitting and pitching, is kind of my point.
But if you look at Juan Soto, boy, he's playing well.
There is one factor to keep in mind in all of this: his agent. How things gone for Scott Boras clients over the last year.
Joe, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so if there's anybody that could possibly screw this up for him,
it's Scott Boras. All right, that'll be something to watch, especially as the year goes on. I can't imagine Soto signs a new deal. He'll test free agency. He'll do the judge thing.
He's going to go back to the Yankees. He's going to get an insane deal. I think that is, they're going to hate to do it, but they're the
going
to
kind
of
have to.
It's kind of running back like to the judge scenario a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, he is essentially Mr. Yankee at this point.
Yep. Judge is the captain. He is Mr. Yankee.
You have to pay him. And Juan Soto, you brought him over in a trade, and he has exceeded expectations, I would say. He was really good last year.
It is insane to think that Juan Soto has exceeded expectations.
Quickly off the top of your guys' heads, who do you think Boras is going to find to be the Yankees' other negotiator here? Or the evil... like, whatever, against the Yankees.
I think usual suspects. I think Dodgers, like, they won't be interested, but they'll have a conversation.
Maybe the Cubs.
Cubs, Giants, Rangers.
Sneaky pick, Detroit Tigers.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying Boras is looking for anybody in this situation to compete against New York, and they're going to have it.
I don't know if they're still playing paying Miggy Cabrera or not, if that money's deferred. But if not the case, then, yeah, maybe a possibility.
All right, when we come back, can you imagine being boring about a huge moment? We'll get to that and have a little fun with audio next. That's the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. We'll chime in on the London series. Plus, who's the most overrated player in baseball? Decided by baseball players. I feel like if that was in the NBA, they would lose their effing minds, which is probably why they don't do that. But I'd like to use this opportunity. Now, full disclosure, I have not heard this, okay?
Ah.
I did not watch the game last night, the Mariner White Sox game last night.
No,
I did not watch it.
You missed a roller coaster of emotions.
I was having dinner with the wife, and we had, you know, just a nice little night for the two of us. you know, had some steaks.
And, I was going to say, what'd you make?
I made some steaks and some baked potatoes and some veggies.
Butter?
And sat outside.
Some sour blue cream?
Yeah, yeah. What do you top the steaks with anything?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Oh, sour cream on the potatoes.
No, I usually either do a pat of butter, or if my wife and I get really fancy, a little dollop of gorgonzola cheese.
I cook with butter.
Okay.
But I don't. If I go out, I might do a steak that has some fun accoutrements on top.
Yeah.
But when I cook at home, we do it straight
cast iron
up.
Pan?
No. I know. I got to get better. But so I didn't see this, and I was texting with Joe earlier, just kind of saying, you know, hey, what do you want to get into today? I was thinking about this and this and this, and then he hit me with this wonderful Dave Sims audio from last night.
Here's the pitch to Cal.
What's wrong with that?
The fact that it was a grand slam.
Grand salami.
Are we just
time.
Mad that he didn't say salami?
Well, he said seven. He thought it was two runners on base.
He said it was a three-run jack, and the Mariners win 7-4.
It was an 8-4 win.
Listen, Dave Sims is kind of one.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll laugh at announcers on big deals that maybe aren't big deals. I haven't heard this, but Joe mentioned this, so we'll get to that. Plus, the most overrated players in the Major League Baseball, anonymously voted on by other Major League players.
Which, that's how you know it's
true.
It's true, yeah. It's so, not like fans or media. Like, when the players are saying this, then I feel like there's definitely some credence to it.
We'll get to that at the top of the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, maybe we'll revisit the London series. I don't know. The Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Rufio, one more time. I was going to have Patrick hit my tee shot on 6 at the Golf Classic, but I don't want to have a 100-yard birdie attempt.
Ouch. Yeah, that is a par 3 that is about, like, 110 yards.
Deal chimes in with, did Joe yell 500 with the first pitch? That's so great. 500!
Mystery box!
I love that game. I love that game. Infinity!
No, mine was fine, all right? God, see this? We need to make it happen again next year. Redemption.
But getting into some real baseball, over the weekend, there was some really fun, you know, obviously media probably hypes it more than us diehard baseball fans really hype it, but it was still kind of must-watch TV. All the games were nationally televised. Dodgers played the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, and Dodgers took two of those three games and kind of looked the better team for the most part. Luis Gil, for the third game, did what he does of late and has been great, but it's clear that Dodgers offense is rolling. and stuff like that. And it kind of got me thinking, Juan Soto's sitting out with a little bit. He's got, you know, kind of nothing bad, but kind of dealing with a little bit of lingering injuries or injury right now. But all reports coming out about Juan Soto and a new contract, as he will be a free agent at the end of this season, and the Yankees clearly traded for him thinking, you play 1 year in New York and you're with us. Hold the brakes on that. It's not quite a Dan Hurley situation, but it kind of feels a little bit like, even at this point where Juan Soto is clearly a huge factor in the Yankees' success right now. Yeah, Judge is healthy, and every time Judge makes contact on a baseball, I'm talking contact on a baseball, it looks like it's going out of the park. So he's playing out of his mind. But Juan Soto, I would argue, is clearly the MVP of that team. And I know you want to kind of play a little sheepish on, you know, I don't know, we'll see, my agent talks, blah, 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 and he wants $600 million or whatever it's going to be. Do you guys think that him kind of playing coy about a potential long-term deal in New York is because he still doesn't know if New York is the place he wants to be?
He may be considering it, but if he is smart and wants the most money possible and wants to, I mean, he is already a New York legend, it seems like, the way that he started this season. I mean,
he's just been unreal. This is the best Juan Soto I've ever seen.
Well, and yep, to quote Mike Lynch, even, he threw out on Twitter a couple weeks ago, he's like, Juan Soto is the perfect Yankee. Like, he fits the swagger of that team and the way that he has played this year.
Always been a clean-cut guy, so it's not like Verdugo where, you know, on Sunday Night Baseball, they're like, do you miss your beard? No, Soto's always been clean.
If you're the Yankees, you are going to give him whatever he wants. If you're Juan Soto, you know you're going to be a New York Yankee. Like, if you want to keep marketing yourself as one of the top players, if not the top player in baseball, and have opportunity after opportunity on and off the field, you're going to stay in New York. You're going to get a huge contract. I don't care what is coming out of the front office with New York and them saying, oh, we really have to consider our spending. Like,
but yes, on paper, it looks like that. But do you think Juan Soto, a guy who was in Washington, won a World Series, went to San Diego, and for some reason that loaded roster didn't work, but Soto was still Soto light, but still a great ball player? Do you think New York is the best place for him?
I think,
like,
so.
Money aside, because someone's going to pay him.
I mean, it's just the way that
he's going to make $500 million.
The way that he has performed the season obviously is great, no matter what team he's on. But there is something about doing it on the Yankees, and especially this season when we weren't sure how good this team was going to be.
I mean,
he is clearly making them.
I put money down at A-Lin-A that they wouldn't win 92 and a half games, and I think they've already won 92 and a half games.
He is clearly making them a World Series contender.
Without a doubt. And Garrett Cole's right around the corner.
He's coming
and
back.
And he looks good.
So I think it's just, it is the perfect fit as far as type of player, the team that he's on. I can't think, it's like, it's hard to think of, like, all right, so let's say it's not the Yankees, then who?
Yeah, I think that's the big question. It's like, the Dodgers are not going to pay for a right fielder.
No, because they're already
like
paying $1 billion.
They're
for
not going to pay for a right fielder like Juan Soto. You know, I think they'll do the Teoscar Hernandez, Jason Hayward rodeo until they got some prospect they can bring up and play in right field. That's a great question. Would Soto go back to San Diego?
No. No,
you know, I don't think so.
That.
The Giants, they seem to be willing to go after every big free agent. They went after Bryant. They went after Judge. They went after Correa. Would they go after Soto?
And he's already used to hitting big home runs in their stadium.
But is right field a pain in the ass in San Francisco?
They just
like
spent...
that right field is no joke. Yeah. It's monster. It's Fenway monster light.
But just to bring Blake Snell and Jung Ho Koo in, I mean, how much did they spend this year? You know,
truth,
already, like, what,
Jorge Soler?
Yeah, Jorge Soler,
Matt
as well.
Chapman.
Chapman.
We're talking $300-400+ million, and then for one player to turn around and spend $500 million. I think New York's going to be the best place for him, because out of all the other teams, what, maybe Texas? Yeah, because they've kind of struggled with their outfield prospects. Like, oh, maybe we just need to pay, you know, a young vet like this to come in.
Aging Evan Carter.
Yeah, what the hell? And Wyatt Langford, start playing a little better, kid. You were supposed to be, like, the guy. But New York is the best place for him. the coyness is literally a money negotiation thing, right? I've heard that, oh, Juan Soto's worth 600 mil. He's not. I'm sorry. There is no world, unless he's pitching just like Shohei Ohtani's going to next year, that he is worth more than, I mean, I even don't think 500 mil's happening. I think like 450, sure. But at this point, the coyness, the New York Yankees saying, well, we got to look at the market. This is about like $5 to $10 to $30 million on his contract negotiation. Well,
this is on Forbes.com. Is that, and I haven't read the article, this is just the headline, but MLB execs project $498 million deal will keep Juan Soto in New York. So again, I haven't dove into the article,
sure.
But a recent panel of 28 MLB executives polled by ESPN projected that the slugger might earn anywhere from 50 mil for a single season to 655 over 10 years in his next deal.
See, that's the interesting point. That's what I was going to get after. Okay. Because there are only, I believe there are only two guys in baseball that make over $40 million a year. I could be wrong on this, but I think these guys, even if there is, you know, if like a Verlander or somebody else is making, you know, short contracts, $40 million, but of long-term deals, I believe the only guys making over $40 million a year in baseball are Mookie Betts and Mike Trout.
So to go a little further in this article, the average of all projections was $482.5 million over 11.6 years. And with the highest and lowest outliers removed, it came to that $498.4 million over 12.4 years.
But $498 over 12 is less money than Mike Trout.
It's $40.4 million average.
That's less money than Mookie Betts.
Yeah. Highest proportion of panelists, 14 total, indicated that Soto would land a deal in the 500 mil to 599 million tier. Three said the deal would reach at least 600
million. I understand that contracts are going to go up every year for stars, but we just saw Shohei, a two-way star, get 750 mil.
Yeah, Shohei, it's kind of like, you know, with the Stanley Cup Finals going on, you talk about great players. Like, there's Gretzky, and then you start talking about everybody else. I think when it comes to contracts in baseball, Shohei is something we've never seen and may never see again. So I don't love comparing guys getting contracts to Shohei.
Okay.
That's why I kind of brought up Trout and Mookie, because that's more realistic. Harper, you know, you can go down the line to Frankie Lindor and Manny Machado, guys that are making over 300 mil, Bryce Harper, etc. Shohei can't count.
Well, I'm just wondering if the value's there for that kind of player in general. If this guy that you're saying is kind of the exception to the rule is getting 750 mil, then how could somebody even come close to that if they're not offering both hitting and pitching, is kind of my point.
But if you look at Juan Soto, boy, he's playing well.
There is one factor to keep in mind in all of this: his agent. How things gone for Scott Boras' clients over the last year.
Joe, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so if there's anybody that could possibly screw this up for him,
it's Scott Boras. All right, that'll be something to watch, especially as the year goes on. I can't imagine Soto signs a new deal. He'll test free agency. He'll do the judge thing.
He's going to go back to the Yankees. He's going to get an insane deal. I think that is, they're going to hate to do it, but they're
going to kind of have
to. It's kind of running back like to the judge scenario a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. It's like, he is essentially Mr. Yankee at this point.
Yep. Judge is the captain. He is Mr. Yankee.
You have to pay him. And Juan Soto, you brought him over in a trade, and he has exceeded expectations, I would say. He was really good last year.
It is insane to think that Juan Soto has exceeded expectations.
Quickly off the top of your guys' heads, who do you think Boras is going to find to be the Yankees' other negotiator here? Or the evil... like, whatever, against the Yankees.
I think usual suspects. I think Dodgers, like, they won't be interested, but they'll have a conversation.
Maybe the Cubs.
Cubs, Giants, sneaky, Rangers.
Sneaky pick, Detroit Tigers.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying Boras is looking for anybody in this situation to compete against New York, and they're going to have it.
I don't know if they're still playing paying Miggy Cabrera or not, if that money's deferred. But if not the case, then, yeah, maybe a possibility.
All right, when we come back, can you imagine being boring about a huge moment? We'll get to that and have a little fun with audio next. That's the Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we got Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. We'll chime in on the London series. Plus, who's the most overrated player in baseball? Decided by baseball players. I feel like if that was in the NBA, they would lose their effing minds, which is probably why they don't do that. But I'd like to use this opportunity. Now, full disclosure, I have not heard this, okay?
Ah.
I did not watch the game last night, the Mariner White Sox game last night.
No, you,
I did not watch it.
You missed a roller coaster of emotions.
I was having dinner with the wife, and we had, you know, just a nice little night for the two of us. You know, had some steaks. And,
I was going to say, what'd you make?
Yeah, yeah. I made some steaks and some baked potatoes and some veggies.
Butter?
And sat outside.
Some sour blue cream?
Yeah, yeah. What do you top the steaks with anything?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Oh, sour cream on the potatoes.
No, I usually either do a pat of butter, or if my wife and I get really fancy, a little dollop of gorgonzola cheese.
I cook with butter.
Okay.
But I don't. If I go out, I might do a steak that has some fun accoutrements on top.
Yeah.
But when I cook at home, we do it straight
cast iron pan?
No, I know. I got to get better. But so I didn't see this, and I was texting with Joe earlier, just kind of saying, you know, hey, what do you want to get into today? I was thinking about this and this and this, and then he hit me with this wonderful Dave Sims audio from last night.
Here's the pitch to Cal.
What's wrong with that?
The fact that it was a grand slam.
Grand salami.
Are we just
time.
Mad that he didn't say salami?
Well, he said seven. He thought it was two runners on base.
He said it was a three-run jack, and the Mariners win 7-4.
It was an 8-4 win.
Listen, Dave Sims has kind of won some credibility over the years, you know, in
great
this
hats.
Area.
Great hats.
But love dude, Dave Sims like, hats. What an epic moment. And like you were saying, in that game, a roller coaster of emotions. And maybe that's what it was. It was just emotions.
He did say big dumper.
But for God's sakes, man, you're watching the game in front of you. You have one job. Make the correct call.
You are sober. We are not. Yeah.
It would have been worse if he was like, break out the bribe bed and mustard. It's a grand salami three-run home run. 7-4. Yeah.
What if he's like, break out the sourdough and horseradish, Grandma?
It's a roast beef three-run slam. I don't know. Something.
So, I don't know. Like, and I am indifferent on Dave Sims.
I am, too. I have spent a majority of my life listening to Mariner games on radio.
Yeah.
So, obviously, I'm a Niehaus guy, and I think Rick Riz is still one of the best in the game.
Oh, I love Rick Riz. Oh, my God.
So, I don't catch TV very often, and if I do, the volume's usually down.
And I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just being overly critical, and I get it. It's regional. Like commentators, broadcasters, so of course they're going to have some biases and like lean towards the team they're obviously calling.
Of course.
But I feel like Dave Sims gets a little too excited for Mariners W sometimes.
Well, did you guys see that
So get to have excitement in the call itself, in the moment, but the homerism sometimes gets to me.
It could be worse. You could be A's fans with that broadcast booth.
Oh, yes.
did you guys
She's
see...
She's trying her
guys,
best,
Did
okay?
you guys see that Dave Sims is a potential candidate to do radio for
well,
the Yankees.
Not after
anymore.
This.
Yeah,
I did see that story, and honestly, when I saw that story as a diehard, lifelong Mariners fan, broke my heart a little bit because I don't want to lose that voice. And I've met Dave Sims, really nice guy. And this was probably a decade ago where he's like, gosh, if the Mariners could just get to the freaking playoffs. So, Joe, you ask, like, why so much excitement when the Mariners win? Honestly, I don't think he's making that up.
He's generally excited. He loves the team,
yeah.
But yeah.
I don't think it's too much because it's coming from a place of like frustration and being a true fan. And I guess if you ask me, like, gosh, you know, Dave Niehaus, I miss him. Rest in peace, Ron Fairley. I loved when he would actually take over for like 3-4 innings.
Who's the guy that does it right now for Rick Riz?
You're talking either Aaron Goldsmith or Gary.
I'm talking Aaron Goldsmith.
Goldie, yeah.
Goldie, he's been offered full-time jobs, and he's turned it down.
Yeah, he just
because he's waiting out Rick Riz.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows if Riz goes, he'll have that job.
And there's no point.
And he's great. Yeah. I mean, he's not Rick Riz, but he's great.
No, there's no point for Goldie.
No Tom
he can
Hamilton.
Just, I mean, he can just do, and I believe Sims does some stuff as well on the side for national, like, or satellite radio. But yeah, Goldie still does Fox games, like on Saturdays. He'll call MLB games. He'll call playoff games for other networks. And I mean, the Mariners have, I guess they've thankfully been one of the teams out of all in baseball that have never really had like a drop in their announcer talent.
No, it's always been fantastic.
But this was, man, I gotta say, God, I love you, Dave Sims, but darn it, you gotta see how many runners are on base
Dude,
there.
I mean,
and especially with the grand salami thing, rest in peace, Dave Niehaus.
It's a walk.
What did I do wrong?
You got two things wrong, the score and the type of home run it was. Like, again, It's a walk-off grand slam. You guys were losing 4-0. You come back in the final two innings. Like, the moment itself was so cool. And it's just like, dude.
And,
like, way to F that
up. By the way, did Scott Servais get a little bit of longer leash after that game? He might have been the MVP of the night.
Imagine if Cal Raleigh got tossed, then we might have not have had this moment.
Scott Servais might have been the MVP last night.
No, he actually came in right when they need. I want to see more of that this
Cal
year.
Cal was ready to lose his S, and Scott was like, no, we need you. I'll go.
Absolutely.
So
that's
is a
great manager. Dave Roberts ain't doing that.
Aaron Boone
ain't doing that.
Someone on Twitter is jumping on and said, he made a small contextual mistake, but the call is still electric. Can the call still be electric if it's wrong?
Let me tell you this. I listened to it and I got done and I said, what the hell's wrong with this?
Can we all?
Because I didn't catch the 3-run. I thought his call was great. I didn't catch the 3-run shot.
If it was a 3-run home run.
But I knew it was a grand slam going into it. And when you played it, I didn't notice he got the score wrong.
Can we all agree, like, if the Chicago White Sox announcer made the same gaffe, the one that everybody's been giving S to all season?
Put it on the ball.
Yeah, he did the Hank, Hawk Harrelson impression. Sorry, I have Hank Aaron on the brain from earlier, but yeah, wouldn't we all be giving him S? I understand Dave Sims has built up some credibility here, but we gotta say, yo, what happened?
Don't we have a new White Sox announcer drop right from last week? I could have sworn we put it on there. But we ain't taking that.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Exactly.
We have a choir of him saying that.
Yeah, it's Patrick and I hit it at the same time.
R.I.P. Dave Sims. I guess he's dead. I guess we'll just kill this man.
His Yankees chances are dead.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that in the big Bronx, the big times, all right? Come on.
Yeah, now I know his next job.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
Yeah, boy, Cincinnati.
Imagine if that happens to him.
Can you imagine him calling Cincinnati games and be like, that's the best home run I've seen since Ken Griffey Jr. Just holds on to some Mariner stuff.
Gosh.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Imagine if he has a hot mic moment.
All right. We have a little fun with Dave Sims, although Dave Sims is phenomenal and fantastic. When we come back, Major League Baseball players voted on the most overrated players in baseball anonymously, plus baseball in England and fair or foul. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we got fair or foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, as we always do. We'll chime in on the London series, plus who's the most overrated player in baseball? Decided by baseball players. I feel like if that was in the NBA, they would lose their effing minds, which is probably why they don't do that. But I'd like to use this opportunity. Now, full disclosure, I have not heard this, okay?
Ah.
I did not watch the game last night, the Mariner-White Sox game last night.
No,
I did not watch it.
You missed a roller coaster of emotions.
I was having dinner with the wife, and we had, you know, just a nice little night for the two of us. You know, had some steaks.
I was going to say, what'd you make?
I made some steaks and some baked potatoes and some veggies.
Butter?
And sat outside.
Sour cream?
Yeah. What do you top the steaks with anything?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Oh, sour cream on the potatoes.
Yeah.
No, I usually either do a pat of butter, or if my wife and I get really fancy, a little dollop of gorgonzola cheese.
I cook with butter.
Okay.
But I don't. If I go out, I might do a steak that has some fun accoutrements on top.
Yeah.
But when I cook at home, we do it straight
cast iron pan?
No, I know. I got to get better. So I didn't see this, and I was texting with Joe earlier, just kind of saying, you know, hey, what do you want to get into today? I was thinking about this and this and this, and then he hit me with this wonderful Dave Sims audio from last night.
Here's the pitch to Cal.
What's wrong with that?
The fact that it was a grand slam.
Grand salami.
Are we just mad that he didn't say salami?
Well, he said seven. He thought it was two runners on base.
He said it was a 3-run jack, and the Mariners win 7-4.
It was an 8-4 win.
Listen, Dave Sims has kind of won some credibility over the years, you know, in
great
this
hats.
Area.
Great hats.
But love dude, Dave Sims like, hats. What an epic moment. And like you were saying, in that game, a roller coaster of emotions. And maybe that's what it was. It was just emotions.
He did say big dumper.
But for God's sakes, man, you're watching the game in front of you. You have one job. Make the correct call.
You are sober. We are not. Yeah.
It would have been worse if he was like, break out the bri bed and mustard. It's a grand salami. 3-run home run. 7-4. Yeah.
What if he's like, break out the sourdough and horseradish, grandma.
It's a roast beef 3-run slam. I don't know. Something.
So I don't know. Like, and I am indifferent on Dave Sims.
I am too. I have spent a majority of my life listening to Mariner games on radio.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm a Niehaus guy, and I think Rick Riz is still one of the best in the game.
Oh, I love Rick Riz. Oh, my God.
So I don't catch TV very often, and if I do, the volume's usually down.
And I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just being overly critical, and I get it. It's regional, like, commentators, broadcasters, so of course they're going to have some biases and, like, lean towards the team they're obviously calling.
Of course.
But I feel like Dave Sims gets a little too excited for Mariners W sometimes.
Well, did you guys see that
So get to have excitement in the call itself, in the moment, but the homerism sometimes gets to me.
It could be worse. You could be A's fans with that broadcast booth.
Oh, yes.
Did you guys see...
She's trying her
best. Did you guys see that Dave Sims is a potential candidate to do radio for
well,
the Yankees.
Not after
anymore.
This.
Yeah.
I did see that story. And honestly, when I saw that story as a diehard lifelong Mariners fan, broke my heart a little bit because I don't want to lose that voice. And I've met Dave Sims, really nice guy. And this was probably a decade ago where he's like, gosh, if the Mariners could just get to the freaking playoffs. So, Joe, you ask, like, why so much excitement when the Mariners win? Honestly, I don't think he's making that up.
He's generally excited. He loves the team,
I don't think it's too much because it's coming from a place of, like, frustration and being a true fan. And I guess if you ask me, like, gosh, you know, Dave Niehaus, I miss him. Rest in peace, Ron Fairley. I loved when he would actually take over for, like, 3-4 innings.
Who's the guy that does it right now for Rick Riz?
You're talking either Aaron Goldsmith or Gary.
I'm talking Aaron Goldsmith.
Goldie, yeah.
Goldie, he's been offered full-time jobs, and he's turned it down.
Yeah, he just...
Because he's waiting out Rick Riz.
Uh-huh.
Because he knows if Riz goes, he'll have that job.
And there's no point...
And he's great. Yeah. I mean, he's not Rick Riz, but he's great.
No, there's no point for Goldie.
No Tom
he can
Hamilton.
Just, I mean, he can just do, and I believe Sims does some stuff as well on the side for national, like, or satellite radio. But yeah, Goldie still does Fox games, like on Saturdays. He'll call MLB games. He'll call playoff games for other networks. And I mean, the Mariners have, I guess they've thankfully been one of the teams out of all in baseball that have never really had like a drop in their announcer talent.
No, it's always been fantastic.
But this was, man, I gotta say, God, I love you, Dave Sims, but darn it, you gotta see how many runners are on base.
Dude,
there.
I mean,
and especially with the grand salami thing, rest in peace, Dave Niehaus.
It's a walk.
What did I do wrong?
You got two things wrong. The score and the type of home run it was. Like, again, it's a walk-off grand slam. You guys were losing 4-0. You come back in the final two innings. Like, the moment itself was so cool. And it's just like, dude.
And,
like, way to F that
up. By the way, did Scott Service get a little bit of longer leash after that game? He might have been the MVP of the night.
Cal Raleigh got tossed, then we might have not have had this moment.
Scott Service might have been the MVP last night.
No, he actually came in right when they need. I want to see more of that this
Cal
year.
Cal was ready to lose his S, and Scott was like, no, we need you. I'll go.
Absolutely.
So is
That's
a
great
call,
manager. Dave Roberts ain't doing that.
Is
That's
a
true.
Call seeing
Aaron
someone,
Boone ain't doing that.
Someone on Twitter is jumping on and said he made a small contextual mistake, but the call is still electric. Can the call still be electric if it's wrong?
Let me tell you this. I listened to it and I got done and I said, what the hell's wrong with this?
Can we all?
Because I didn't catch the 3-run. I thought his call was great. I didn't catch the 3-run shot.
If it was a 3-run home run.
But I knew it was a grand slam going into it. And when you played it, I didn't notice he got the score wrong.
Can we all agree, like, if the Chicago White Sox announcer made the same gaffe, the one that everybody's been giving S to all season?
Put it on the ball.
Yeah, that he did the Hank, Hawk. Hawk Harrelson impression. Sorry, I have Hank Aaron on the brain from earlier, but yeah, wouldn't we all be giving him S? I understand Dave Sims has built up some credibility here, but we gotta say, yo, what happened?
Don't we have a new White Sox announcer drop right from last week? I could have sworn we put it on there. But we ain't taking that.
Nah, we ain't taking that.
Exactly.
We have a choir of him saying that.
Yeah, it's Patrick and I hit it at the same time.
R.I.P. Dave Sims. I guess he's dead.
I guess we'll just kill this man.
Well, his Yankees chances are dead.
Yeah.
You can't be doing that in the big Bronx, the big times, all right? Come on.
Yeah, now I know his next job.
There's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos. It will be a home run.
Yeah, boy, Cincinnati.
Imagine if that happens to him.
Can you imagine him calling Cincinnati games and be like, that's the best home run I've seen since Ken Griffey Jr. Just holds on to some Mariner stuff.
Gosh.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
Imagine if he has a hot mic moment.
All right. We have a little fun with Dave Sims, although Dave Sims is phenomenal and fantastic. When we come back, Major League Baseball players voted on the most overrated players in baseball anonymously, plus baseball in England and fair or foul. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Today the Fan.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.